Welcome to this new episode of Karen and Toss. This is the podcast slash YouTube channel where I, your host, Karen and Heinz, film critic and journalist, speak to film creatives around the world about their work, the industry, and what inspires them. And today, I'm joined by filmmaker Fan Wu to talk about her documentary, Qixi, which is a very introspective documentary, but I think an aspiration and a visual diary about this charismatic young woman named Qixi, whose life of freedom is kind of hampered by real life responsibilities. So we'll definitely get into that. And Fan herself features a bit in the film because, like, you are a character in this film. It's very much about your own identity and your own questions about life and femininity. But first of all, thank you so much for joining me, Fan, to talk to me about the film, which I should mention is showing at the 2024 Hot Docs documentary film competition here in Toronto.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So the film starts out with you talking with Qixi at a bus stop in Berlin. And Qixi's on her way to pick up her daughter, Nia, from school in France. And, like, you just drop us straight into the story. But before we begin talking about the film itself, talk to me about speaking with Qixi about making a documentary about her and about you. Like, did you know that you wanted to make a film, or were you going with the flow and recording all of these moments and then say, you know what, I think I have a film here? So, like, tell me, what was the process like for you? Because I think it's interesting that Qixi herself had an interest in filmmaking because she's very creative and she's very free flowing. But, like, I wondered, like, what was the process like for making the film?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think it goes way back to six, seven years ago that when I met her, I was alone in Berlin because I just moved in. And when I met her, we realized that we are both feeling a bit lonely, but we are both artists. And I got to know that she makes video diaries, and I'm a filmmaker. So I naturally got really curious. And it become also very interesting for me that she's very willing to share with me. Like, I felt there is openness from her that she wanted to share her life with me. And so we spent, I think, our first weekend together just watching her diaries. And I got intrigued immediately. And I felt, I think I wasn't so sure that there would be a film, but I felt it would be so fun working with her because of how much life there is in her diary. So we started to send each other things and talk about working on project together. Like, it's not necessarily a film, but I think I was really sure I want to work with her. And then I start digging into it, and it become a film.
So in the film, we see how she became interested in filmmaking. Like, she's a very artistic person. Like, she loves singing, she loves music, composition, and she loves, like, recording her life. Like, she saw that as a way to, like, really remember herself, especially because she says she started it in particular when she was pregnant. And then when her daughter Nina was born, she really wanted to document that. But so we got to see how she got interested in filmmaking. For you, how did you become interested in filmmaking?
I think, well, for me, well, I started, I have, as a kid, I have always liked stories, like reading stories, telling stories. And, like, my mom always said my favorite sentence is, "And then what happened?" And so I think storytelling has always been my favorite things to do. But I always thought that I'm gonna be a novelist or something. Like, I love writings. But then I think as life goes on, I felt filmmaking is a great way, especially making documentaries, a great way to live your life, question your life, at the same time doing it as a professional. And I love that. I felt it's really enriching process, and it's very fun to do. So I started from doing it just as a sketch, and then I start loving it, and I get into the industry, and I think it has been really fun for me. So yeah, I think it's that's how I started.
And do you think because of like you, because you like because of that very curious nature, that's what made you interested, I think, in particular in documentaries? Because documentaries as the documentaries are mainly different from feature films and from regular narrative films in that there really is no narrative. Like documentaries, like the story is driven by what happens in the day. Like you said, like your favorite sentence as Grant was and then. You know, and a documentary is like that because something happens and you're like, and then like that, what happens in that moment drives what happens in the documentary because you don't have a script. You know, you don't know how your story is gonna end until it's finished and you're like, okay, I think I'm done now. But do you think that curiosity is what really made you interested in documentaries in particular? Because documentaries that like, you have to be continuously curious and keep going with the story.
Yeah, for absolutely. And I think that keep make me like the surprise in the at the shoot always inspire me more. Like I felt the things that happened in life, like for example when I meet Shishi and things that happened between us and things I saw between her and her daughter Nina were, I think was never I could if I'm a script writer, I could never imagine that. I think like for me, I always felt like life it's more interesting than like what happened in reality is more interesting than what I could ever imagine. Like, so I think for sure, like I like to get surprised and find more curious,
Yeah,
like things.
you know, they say reality is stranger than fiction. Nothing that we could ever come up with in imagination could ever beat reality. And this film is like that. Like nothing that ever happens in this film is predictable. Nothing that Shishi does or says is predictable. Like she is she's what you would call an enigma. You know, like you don't know what her plan is going to be. And for this film, when it starts out, yes, it starts out with Nina, with her picking up Nina. But then as the film goes on, you realize like Nina is very much a driving force in Shishi's life. You know, she is like the reason that Shishi does a lot of things and the reason she doesn't do things. And like she's very free spirited, like Shishi. Like she traveled, she basically hitchhiked all over Europe, you know. She was an artist in Berlin and she started in like China because that's where she met her ex-husband. Meredith, and like she lived such a full life and such an adventurous life, but I was pleasantly surprised to see how much Nina as factors in not only into Shishi's life but into the film. You know, like Nina is kind of like the surprise glue that kind of holds the entire story together. So talk to me about like we said at the beginning, like you weren't really sure if it was going to be a film or not, but like once like Nina started to really become a, I think, a really big part of the story, and because like she was going through custody issues with her husband, like Nina really started to become a focal point for Shishi at that point in time. Like, talk to me about then, like having to deal with filming a child because like filming Shishi is very different to filming Nina. You know, you got to approach the filmmaking in two very different ways.
Oh yeah. I think with Nina we did with my producer and together with Shishi and Mendehik we have a lot of conversations because Shishi had filmed Nina since she was a child, like a baby. While so Nina, I think we as filmmaker we were very conscious that so Nina had no idea this footage would be what is going to be in the film. And also we are discovered like in the film we are exploring very difficult questions in life, especially for womanhood. So we were and since the shooting and all the way toward editing, we were like, okay, we have to find the best moment to talk to her, to let her know what we are doing. And I think it become very clear and nice when I think she's growing up, and I think at some point when she turned 10 or 11, and I go to shoot in France again, and she started to we started to have more conversations. Her English is really good, and I started to tell her, okay, so I'm making this film with your mom, and you have been singing me over all these years, and how do you feel? And she actually eventually joined the filming with me. We didn't manage to show the footage that she shot, but she joined the film and she's really keen to because she has been seeing her mom filming and she watched a lot of films, so she's really a little film fan as well. And she actually told me that she wanted to become a filmmaker. It sort of, I think the filming process, it's really part of her life as well. Yeah, I think that's one of it. And back to also what you mentioned, I think to know Nina's existence in Shishi's life for me was also the moment that I realized that okay, there is a film. Because we saw, I of course, when I saw Shishi the first time, I found her very interesting. That's why I was fully like, I would always call it, I was in love. Like, yeah, I was but that doesn't make it a film because she's just fully a free person. But then when I see that she has another perspective in her life, that she has to be a mother, take responsibilities, and she love Nina, there's something that gravitate her. So between, I always say to the editor that I think the film is also about she wants to fly as a free person, but she has something that grounded her, and so she has to deal or to navigate her life in between. And that I felt that's the space of the film that it's happening. So I think that's also just to also response to what you just mentioned. I think Nina is really what make the film come together.
Yeah, she does. She is like the color. I call her the glue, but she's also like the main through line in that she's represented of the film is very much about the relationship between mothers and daughters, you know. And she is kind of like she's the third generation in a story about daughters, you know. Like she, there's Nina, there's Shishi, and then there's like Shishi's own mother, Peach Blossom. And like this is a story about mothers, and that's again that's something I wasn't expecting the film to turn out to be, you know, where you get to really start to like look into how she sees herself as a mother, how she sees herself as a daughter. But then we also pleasantly get to see a like Peach Blossom's own perspective. You know, we get to see and learn about her, but we also get to learn about you because the film is again about you and about not your mom. I thought it was interesting. You didn't mention your mom, but you spoke about your grandmom. You know, you spoke about how you saw your grandmother as almost as an enigma, almost the same way that you see Shishi. You know, like if anything, I would say Shishi was like who would could have been seen almost as like as a younger version of your grandmother if you had gotten the chance to know that version of her, you know. And and I think the film is very much talking about how women, and as complex as we have all of these things that bind us together, you know. Like you hadn't met Peach Blossom then, but you still had your grandmother that you had as a frame of reference because you could kind of see who like the possibility of who she could have been through Peach Blossom and also Shishi and also in yourself, you know, because you were getting to pursue the career that you wanted to, whereas your grandmother didn't. So talk about that part of the story of inserting yourself into the story, because you could have been very well, this film could have worked as just you being an observer, as the camera just being there observing Shishi and Nina and seeing her story. But then once you start to, and because you're narrating it from your perspective, that's one thing, but then you actually get into the story. You know, and then you tell us about your own grandmother and your own that own part of your family history. So talk about putting yourself into the story and integrating it that way.
Oh, it was a very difficult process because I think I think because I think as a director, the director part of me felt it's very necessary to put myself in because that broadened the universe of the film. That I'm this very different woman than Shishi, but I share the universe with her. That and how my grandmother is coming from Taiwan and a different time of the history, but there's something similar, which is, I felt this is something that is opening up the universe of all the women in the film. But at the same time, I'm not very used to putting myself in the film. And I think especially in the very early of the filming, I'm very fascinated by Shishi. So I put all my focus on her. And I felt like we just need to see her. So it took a long time in the editing process to imagine how Fan's existence can exist in the film and to balance and also to bring in the history, but to have a proper distance in reflecting the things that happen in the film. And I think in the end, I'm very happy that I did the decision of putting myself and my grandmother's in, and to be able to, I think mainly it was really to make questions for Shishi and for myself in the film through telling the story of my grandmother. And I hope that's something that audience can find them. That's I hope audience can find themselves in this story as well.
Yeah, no, I related a lot to that. Like I mentioned to you before we began recording, like I've been watching so many films about mothers and daughters and like different relationships. And I'm like, the universe is telling me something really that I need to sit down and have these kind of deep conversations with my mom. Not that I haven't before, but I'm 40 years old now this year. I'll be 41 this year, and I'm like, clearly the universe is saying, Carolyn, you know what? Take this as a sign. You're watching all of these movies, all of these films about mothers and daughters. This is what you should do. But that's why I appreciate that you put in your own side of the story, because I don't think the film would work exactly the same way. Because, and the reason I say that is because, like, I think you do a very good job of being objective when you need to be, and when you're and subjective when you need to by inserting yourself. When you're in it, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like you're making about it, but it makes sense. Because as you said, you like at the beginning you said you were in love with Ashishi, and I got that. And like, it's not like an erotic love, but it's more of a romantic love, in the sense like this is someone that you connected to on a soul level, you know, like she's like, I would call her like your platonic soulmate, and like you connected to her because she understood you where you were at that point, and you understood her where she was at that point. And you, I think you, of course, this is from what we were seeing just in the completed film, like she needed someone who could accept her for the way she was at that point in time, because she was in like her life was like not solid. You know, she was very free flowing, going wherever, but then she was also still struggling a lot with what being a mother to Nina means, you know, and like you being there doing this thing that she loved, which is filmmaking, recording her, which is something that she herself had done. I got a sense from the film like she needed that. She needed that outside perspective of someone to look at her and say, is this what's happening in your life, you know, document it from an outside perspective. And I think for you, I got the sense that you needed that, because in a narration, the narration gets very introspective, where you're looking for answers at the beginning, and then at the end you kind of find the answers that you want. Not that all of the answers have been given that you want, but like you really come to a conclusion and you say, you know what, this is something that I needed to confront. You know, this is in my own past and with my own grandmother. And for her, she needed to find answers for herself, you know, to figure out who she is through time, because she can't stay who she was at the beginning. You know, like she grows. She has like a full character arc. Like she grows physically, and she grows, I think, a lot emotionally and mentally. And I think you do too, because there's at the beginning of the film, like you are an observer, and like you do look at her, you get the sense not only that you're in love with her, but you're enamored with her, you're very fascinated with her, and you're envious of her in that you wish you could be as free thinking and as free as she is. And you get to a point, because there's like scenes where she's teaching you how to move your body and dance, and then she's shaving your head, and like you're like, you wouldn't do these things if you didn't have her to help you. And the film really does get very deep in her life. She's very open. She's a very bare person, and I mean that literally and figuratively. Like she has no problem with nudity. You know, she has no problem sharing her thoughts and like her fears. So, as a filmmaker, how did working with someone like Shishi, who is as open as she is, and who is as willing to like basically do whatever is needed necessary for art? Because there's sequences closer to the end where she does her performance art, where she's like tumbling down some broken bricks, and I'm like, what? Like you can cut your skin and stuff, but it makes sense, because she's not afraid of being hurt, she's not afraid of being bruised, and you even say that. But like, how did working with someone like her help you as a filmmaker?
Oh, it's really like a riding a roller coaster, or like it feels like I'm doing the same thing as her, because you never you're all I'm always surprised with what would happen. Like every time before I go to a shoot, of course I prepare questions, I actually prepare a script, because of course that's part of my job. But I'm always ready to, like, things will never be as how I would want it, but to go with her flow. And she's always telling me, "Fun, go with the flow." And I think that's something I knew since the beginning that I wanted to be influenced by her. But on the spot at the shoot, sometimes it's very scary because, for example, we would be hitchhiking with all my equipments, and I had nobody else, and in the middle of France, and I don't speak French, and we will be doing crazy things on the road, and I don't know where is the end of the trip, and sometimes I might miss my flight because of how crazy the plan is. And
Missing my flights is like a true fear of mine. Like, I can't sleep anytime I have to travel, so that would freak me out.
so I think it's really to live in her spirit. But at the same time, I think what's interesting was for me was also that I think for the first few years of our friendship, and also the filmmaking, I was really letting myself into her energy. But I think later, as a filmmaker and as a friend, or as a human being, I realized that it's also important for me to be myself. Like sometimes I think later part, I started to be like, okay, I think there are also moments that the fun personality is important in this friendship to feel more calm or grounded. Like she would also say that sometimes she think that our friendship was not possible if we are not so different, because we sort of balance each other. So I think that also give me a different idea about myself. Like I think it's something you learn in a friendship that, okay, there's also, of course, I admire her, but there are also things that I think she valued in me that I realized was beautiful to appreciate. And so I think that's something as a filmmaker and that I learned that I they are how to appreciate the value or see the value of different human beings, including myself.
Yeah, we all can be the same. And again, this is something that comes out in the film, because the thing is though, I thought it was very interesting. She is very much like her mother, even though she thinks she isn't. Like, and that's just, like, when she first talks about her mother, you think her mom is like, she talks about her mom as being someone who left often, when she was younger, and that traumatized her. That really gave her a fear of being alone, and also a fear of not doing enough for Nina. And like, she's very open about that again in talking about how her fear of wanting to be a mother to Nina, but also still be herself, still be free, and like who is Nina without being able to get up and leave? And it's not that she's running away from being a parent, far be it from it. She loves being a parent. She loves being a mother. Like, she loves Nina, but she also just loves traveling. She loves music, and she loves being able to create. And that's her mom. When her mom enters the story, and we get to see her mom for ourselves, you're like, hold on, you are just like your mom. Like, like, they have this discussion about films and about music, and it's a very deep and a very intense conversation. And you get, like, her mom, like, says something. She wished she could have gone to France, and the reason she did, because she but and because and then you realize it's because she loves art, she loves music, she loves film, she references films, she references filmmakers from all over the world. She references French and American filmmakers. She talks about Inside Llewellyn Davis and how, like, neat, and she could be someone like that. In like, you can be an improvisational musician, but record the music so that you can, like, produce it and make money from it. And she's like, no, I only want to make music for now. And I think, and I'm like, you two are having the exact same conversation, but you don't realize it. And I think it's that's and I think the film is, again, I said about so much about mothers and daughters, but it's also about how we don't know how we see, we don't know how we present to others until we get an outside perspective. I'm sure she would have never thought that her mom and her are similar in that sense until, like, she would watch the film. But wait, she loves music and art just as much as I do. She loves films as much as I do. Like, her mom, like, and yes, she was traumatized by her mom leaving, but you realize her mom left because she was driven by the same spirit of wanting to be free that she did. But I think the difference is that she talks to Nina, and she communicates with Nina about her needs as a mother, but also as her needs as Shishi, whereas Peach Blossom didn't do that with Shishi. She didn't talk to Shishi as a child. So that created that disconnect between them. So for you, like, what was it like for you? Like, you heard Shishi talk about her mom, but then getting to see her mom for yourself.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. I think, but I think I was, for me, like when I, because I have, it's been, I have been hearing Shishi describing how her mother is for years before I got to China. And I had, I think it was surprising for me to see that Peach Blossom actually bear more, like more culture. How you call it? Like she has in like internalized a few sen like the censorship from China and the cultural burden a lot more than I thought, because I had already heard from Shishi that she left her and she's pursuing her art dream. So it was, for me, it was really this how you call it, friction, there's a, it's not completely as how I imagined how she, how Peach Blossom would look like. So I was, I think when I arrived, I was very curious of like, so the complexity inside Peach Blossom as a human being, as a character in the film, it's really very complicated. Like you see how she have this longing for freedom as she, but she at the same time staying in China, and she has also obey a few rules, and that she wants Shishi to obey rules. Like in the film, we see how she asks Shishi to cover her own nipples, which I would thought that she wouldn't. So th I think it's a surprising like thing in the film that I felt, okay, so it shows how it could really show how we as daughter grow out, like we were born by our mother, but we have something in our own life that we wanted to break the thing that we inherited. I felt this is something from their relationship, from those scenes, we see how similar they are, but also how much she wanted to make a difference in her life. So I felt, for me, when we arrived that part of the film, I felt it's the moment that we realized, okay, we know where she's coming from, but we then, so at the same time, we know what she's, what she wanted to make a difference, like the motivation of her trying to liberate herself, and where, yeah, like where her like power coming from. I think this is, for me, the China scene means for me.
Yeah, the thing is, I kind of understood why her mom would want her to cover her nipples too, because her mom was like, well, you're in China, you know, like, you know, and say, do that when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. And it's also showing how over time society and culture really changes our perception of ourselves and the way we do things. You know, when she was younger, she was more free and she would be able to leave, and she was a dancer, you know, like there's pictures you show, like just like glimpses of pictures of her as a dancer, the same way that she was a dancer, and they're almost wearing the exact same outfits. Like she's in the leotards and the black tights, and then there's sequences where she dancing in a leotard and black tights, and she's talking to Nina. And again, it shows like they have the same similar like needs for dancing and expression, but over time, like Peach Blossom just became a bit more conservative because she's been living in China. She's been living in that culture and society for over time, and I imagine that she herself is gonna, in a sense, change the same way, because like, as you become mothers, like you do want your daughters to protect themselves and to, like, you know, like look a certain way. And like, but what mom you know is gonna be like, yeah, show your breast to the world, you know? And so I got it, but she kind of like she kind of saw it as like, oh, she's being conservative and thing. And I'm like, but you're in China, like what are you gonna do? And like, if you were in the US, like you would have to do the same thing, you know, like you can't be walking around with your breasts exposed unless you were like performing in a specific space or walking around at a nude beach, you know. So I didn't really see her mom as condemning her in that way, but it kind of spoke to how they say like society and culture really does influence and change us over time. And Cici herself kind of gets to that point because she's being challenged legally by medic for custody of Nina, and like he's like saying she's an unfit mother, and like the whole nudity And all of this, she has to find a stable job. And in order to find a stable job, she got a dress. She has to be covered, you know? And I kind of saw like that was a real parallel in their stories, but also a way how the film in general talks about how women are expected to conform to specific social ideals to fit in, to be deemed as worthy as either mothers or daughters or sisters, or just to be deemed worthy as women. We have to conform to other people's ideas of respectability. And I had the thought in my head, like, while he doesn't really feature in the film, Mederic, just like how Nina, like a Nina influences a lot of Shishi's actions, he also does the same thing, because like he's the custodian of Nina, and like what he says kind of goes, because she wants to see her daughter. But then I was thinking, but this is who you fell in love with, you know? This is the, you know, he fell in love with this the free spirit dancer and singer, like the person who had no problem like moving her body freely. That's who he fell in love with. But he's like, well, I'm judging you now. You're not who you were, isn't who you should still be, you know? And that is it isn't it's not fit for raising our daughters. So I thought it was interesting, and the film really does get into like how women are expected to conform to society's standard, especially men's standards and patriarchy in general.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was hard the those years of seeing them having this journey of trying to sort things out and seeing Medehik having this very different ideology of what a mother should and a woman and a wife should be, and this ideology is very much the mainstream thoughts that we all got universally. It's very interesting. It's all around the world we were sort of experiencing the same. But I think it's for a long time, like it was. It's really hard for Shishi and Nina. Like we sort of in the film we try to dose it a little bit less, but in life it's really it's for it's a long time struggle for them to find like how to say, because I think in the film I also wanted to make sure that sometimes Medehik has a point. I'm not trying to make him an enemy of Shishi because sometimes he has he what he says makes sense, but yeah, but to also show that to be able to open up a space to question like but every human being is different and how can we open up imagination of womanhood and every life has a different, things you want in your life. And also Nina has her own perspective of what kind of parenthood or family she wants and how can we make space for that for each family members. And I think I'm very grateful that both of all of them, including Medehik, are very open to share their thoughts. Like it was not easy because he obviously, they were really fighting for many years, and it was very influencing in their life. But it was really nice to, I think, in the end of the especially the editing when we shared the film to them, that it was very well perceived. I think they have arrived a moment in life that things were different. And so yeah, I think they were very, I think they are relaxed about how the film can share something about, also about relationship, how you deal with the fact that two of you come together, build a family, but then the idea of the family is different. And how do you deal with that?
Because their relationship, they divorced because in a sense, because she is not that she didn't want to be tied down. She still wanted to be married, but she still wanted to be able to go off and do whatever she wanted, you know? And like I even made a note in my phone. She's like, she uses the word free, you know? She's like, She wants to be free, and she talked about freedom. But then I made a note, like, but freedom isn't without responsibility. You know, you still freedom comes with responsibility, a responsibility to yourself and a responsibility to others. You know, whether you're in a fact, whether you live alone and you're free to do what you want, but you still have to have a personal responsibility to yourself to be safe, to look after yourself, you know. Like, she was putting herself in dangerous situations, like just going hitchhiking across Europe just as a single woman. And I'm like, that is not safe. And I'm like, she's like, I'm free, I'm doing all of this, but I'm like, but are you safe though? You know? And I'm like, to me, again, this is just my own mindset, because of where my brain goes, because I have a super active imagination. I'm just like, all of the things that could possibly go wrong, I'm like, you're free, but what is the social responsibility you have? You know, if something happens to you, how is that gonna affect Nina? You know, how is that gonna affect Medic? How is that gonna affect your mom? You know, then affects you personally. And then when you have a family, you do have a responsibility. You know, like, something happens to you, they have to deal with the consequences of that. You know, and like, I felt like she wasn't really thinking about that, like, especially when she was younger. She's just like very immature. You know, she's very mature in a lot of ways, in that she's very well traveled. She's a very, very intelligent woman, but she was also very immature, and like, she wasn't thinking about stuff realistically, you know. And like, even in the conversation she has with her mom about the music, and she's like, I'm making music for now, you know, and like, I don't want to record my music, because if I want it to be like music for now, and then when it's gone, it's gone. But then her mom is like, you can do the same thing. I produce music, I make money, I pay bills. Like, you know, like, you still have to pay my food, you know, like, pay bills and all that kind of stuff. And then she was talking about hitchhiking, and I'm like, yes, you're hitchhiking, and yes, you're free. But the people whose car you're getting to, they have to pay for it. They have to pay gas for that car. You know, that's where my mind went. I'm like, you're like, everything comes with a cost. You may not feel the cost itself, but others are bearing the cost for you. And she wasn't thinking about that at all. But I think closer to the end of the film, she started to realize, yeah, like, I was being very self-centered, and I'm not really thinking about how I could be improving other people's lives. Like Nina, I was thinking, make them record the music, make money, and put it aside for Nina. That's how I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, but I think what I wanted to, I share a lot of the thoughts you have, but I think at the same time I felt the beauty I see in her choices, are that she, like, I think I felt many of us decide not to do certain things in life because we were already fear of the consequences. But what she does is that she actually knew, but she wanted to. She used her own body, her physical body and soul, to just bump into the reality. She just wanted to crash it, and she wanted to see if something different could happen. And many times it does. Like, it make a difference if you just go and without thinking of the fear of the consequences. And I felt that's something that make new things, and that is creativity in many part of her life. Like, for example, and that's also related to, I often felt like she doesn't like to call herself as an artist, actually, because she doesn't want to be put in a box. But her life is very artistic, very creative, because of how she experiment in her life. And I felt that's something, I think, yeah, was very the beauty of and yeah, it's I felt that something inspired me.
Yeah, I think she's a very inspirational person. Like, I love to travel, and I wish I could travel more, but also, like, I also need money to travel. You know, I wish I could be able to, like, hitchhike and travel across Europe, but then I'm also like, no, I need finances to do it. But she's inspiring in that sense, and she's also, I think, inspiring in, like, how she's not unashamed of her body, and she's very open with that with Nina. And I thought it was interesting how, as a man, Medic is telling her, oh, you need to cover up. Like, one of the things that he says in the film is he doesn't want her to be nude around Nina. And I'm like, but how dare you, sir? Because, like, that's a natural part of, like, I think, mothers and daughter relationship. My mom was nude around me, you know, when it was when my sister and I were young and growing up as teenagers. Like, I'm comfortable around my mother's bodies. Like, that's like normal for women, you know, like women going, if you go to a gym, you go into the bathroom and like there's other naked women around you, and like that's normal and that's comfortable. But he's in a sense saying, like, oh no, I don't want you to be naked around my own daughter. I'm like, I get it from when he was talking about like her, and not even like new performances, because I'm like, that's like artistry. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with men being topless as performers. Like, why is it a problem for women? But he's policing, in a sense, her body and saying like, because you show your body to our daughter, that makes you an unfit mother. I'm like, how dare you, sir? That was one of the things I disagreed with him about. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you? But the thing that you mentioned, like, she pushes up and she runs into reality because she wants to see what happens. And the film does get very serious, and like she talks about being raped as a child, and like there is something happens in that film, and I thought it was just like spectacular, but also so heartbreaking, where she's sitting with Peach Blossom, and then she finally tells her mom what happened to her as a child. She never mentioned it before to anyone, and she just says it. And then Peach Blossom is like, oh yeah, this happened to me too. And they talk about it for like 5 minutes and then like move on. I'm like, and my brain is so stuck here. I'm like, and but then it also, and the reason it was spectacular to me is because they're just so open with it in that moment. And like, and that Peach Blossom shares it with her. You know, she doesn't let she sit there by herself talking about it. She's like, okay, yeah, this happens to me. So it showed Shishi that her mother understood where she was coming from then too. But it was so heartbreaking to me, because that's something that's so commonplace in for women and girls, that her mom had the exact same experience. You know, that her mom, that's something that they can share in common. And then for me, I've also experienced it. And I know women who've also experienced assault. And then it's like, why is it that that's something that it should be so common to women? You know, and I think one of the reasons that she's so open with her body is because that's how she reclaims her body. You know, that's how she's coping with the trauma, and that's how she's like saying, this is my body and I can do with it what I want. If it gets hurt at my hands. If it gets bruised, it gets bruised at my hands. You know, if it gets marked up, because she has like all of these beautiful tattoos, and she's like, if it gets marked up, it's because it's my decision. You know, I do with it what I want. And I thought that's a beautiful thing, but it's also sad in that this and I'm like, I wondered if she ever talked to Medrick about it, because then he may understand why she feels the way she does about nudity, and why she feels the way she does about her body. But I just, when that scene happened, I was like, and I wonder how fan feels with her just dropping this moment into the film and like just saying it, and then they just move on, like nothing happened, and they just start go back talking about music.
Yeah, it was a terrifying moment because it was really a usual morning after breakfast, and they start chatting, and then suddenly they start talking about dreams, and that's when the conversation you mentioned coming up. And I actually had knew it before, but I didn't. I was very shocked by Peach Blossom's response, so to realizing that how common it is. And they actually go on a bit talking about how people they knew around them also experienced the same. And I think that's the moment that this also make me like realize how this topic is, it's one of the central topic of the film. And that's how when I decide that, okay, then I'm gonna go into Shishi's written diary and find those poetry and r writing part of like all those writings that are very much talk about the body experience. Like there are, for example, there's this poetry that she wrote that we include the film about this giant pimples on the face and wounded over my body, and how like all this like how our body receives and remembers feelings and also express it. And also to and so be, and besides this poetry, also we choose the performance of her that are really strong in show, as you said, that it's to reclaim her body, that she wanted to express what she experienced through her performance. And these performances are not are not beauty in the mainstream sense, but really radical in questioning what's like to provoke the experience of the audience. And I think that's something that we wanted to put it little by little in the film to be able to pull together the topic of sexual violence, that we that that how to deal how to how we as human being healed from the trauma, and also to express it in through art. And yeah, that's something we it's the heavy topic of the film, and I think I'm also very inspired by how she said it towards the end of the film, that how her life experience, how art for her, it's really a way to demonstrate her power in recreate her own biography. Like it's really something powerful, I think.
Yeah, I think she's, they said she's like, she's very inspiring, and she's someone who could really show women or anyone that, like, in like, to reclaim yourself and reclaim your own history and your own past and like your own body is important, and is an important part of who we are as people, and like of learning who we are as people, that's part of her journey. And like, there's a scene in the film where like she helps you to do that, like she helps you to internalize, not internal, externalize like your own thoughts in like physical movement, like in dance and all of that stuff. And I think for a lot of people, like trauma, when we hold trauma in, it affects us physically. And I think for her, because she lets it out through her dance and through music, and that she's able to process it better. I think she's much more emotionally mature than even she realizes. Watching the film, I was just like, she's very emotionally mature. And I call her immature, but that was with regards to something else. But when it comes to like how she sees trauma, and like she recognizes that is that what she has is trauma, that her dance is the way she lets that out instead of holding it in, is something that everyone could take a lesson from. And like, don't be afraid to express it in the way you need to express it. Like, people may look at you and think it's weird, but she's like, this is how I'm healing myself. And that's something that I think that we could all take away from her and from the film that you've made, and also for yourself, because even at the end of the film, you're like, if you could go back in time, like, how would you help your grandmother, And like, I think for you, like, making the film was cathartic for you. So, like, in wrapping up, could you talk about, like, you finished the film and everything? What did you, we talked a bit about how the film helps you as an artist, but how did the film help you as a woman? And as a granddaughter, because this film really does focus a lot on how you were about the questions you had about your own grandmother and about your own self.
Yes, I think, thank you for this question. Well, I think it was really, how to say it's, I think, because for me, the story I saw in the film, I talk about how my grandma influenced me, and how I had difficult feelings and painful feelings in related to growing up next to my grandmother, who couldn't finish complete her dream, and who eventually killed herself in the very last part of, like, in at very when she was very old. And I think for a long time I don't talk about it in my life. I felt it's something you put in a box, hide it, and not dealing with it. And I didn't, so it actually took me a long time to realize that my connection with Shishi has an origin to my relationship with my grandmother. And so when I started to realize it and start writing about it, it suddenly, in the beginning, it was very difficult. It was it involved a lot of things I don't know how to deal with as a child. But now, as I have she I have seen Shishi, I know how difficult it is to make a decision between pursuing your own life, go against what the culture, the society want you to do, and the responsibility you have, like all these difficult decisions. I started to have a different perspective in looking at my grandmother and how, why is it difficult for me as a child? Because I can also see how Nina, how things were difficult for Nina. And I think from seeing, from this mirroring my life on Shishi and Nina, I started to felt, okay, it's not, I'm not alone in this experience, that we want to, I want so much that my grandmother could live her life. But at the same time, I fear that, oh, does it mean that then she won't be with us in the family? Like I felt as a kid, as a woman, there's this dilemma of in life. And I think then I realized, okay, then it's something I should start processing, also to think for my the decision I'm gonna make in my own life. And so I felt that through it's really through seeing Shishi, seeing Nina, seeing Peach Blossom, and also sharing my story with them, that I started to be able to look at my life with more support. And also as I start sharing my grandma's story, I realize around to share her story around my own circle, I also realize it's very common that what she's going through. So then that's how I felt, okay, then I wanted to write it in the film. And I think the process of trying to write my personal story into something that is relatable for broader audience was also very helpful, because then I have to find the distance, the proper distance to tell the story and to open up the universe, and to find the word to describe what happened to me. And I think to identify what happened, it's a very crucial part of the healing process. And yeah, so I think that's how this film was really, I think I really grow up with this film.
You grew along with it, and I something I'm curious about as we're ending now. Where is she now? Like, how is she? What's her life like now?
She is. So I think pretty much she's like towards the end of the film, she's doing more art. She has a lot of collaborator in her art project, and she can now she now she because now Nina is 13 years old, I think 12 13 12 years old, and she has her own phone. She can contact Shishi as she wants, so they could freely contact each other. So I think now, it's really like I would receive photos of them hanging out together. So now that yeah, she's doing good. And right now she's in Switzerland, in a festival seeing films. I'm very happy to she's very happy traveling around the world again, and looking for projects and sharing her memories with Nina. At the same time, I think
That's great. She's still getting to be an artist, and she's still getting to be the mom that she wants to be. Like, she's getting the best of both worlds, and I think that's the inspiring thing. Like, if eventually, if you stay true to yourself, you'll eventually find the right path. You'll eventually find what works for you, and I think that's good, probably the main takeaway from the film, with regards to like she's how she sees herself. Like, that they say she's very inspiring. She's like remind you to like stay true to yourself. Like, life will work out. Even if you don't go out hitchhiking all across Europe with no money, you will eventually find I can't believe it. I can't believe she did that. But so many people do, but still my mind boggles at that. But like eventually, like we'll find the path that works for us.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, just persist.
thank you so much, Fan, for taking the time for talking with me. And I think also I think very important to thank you for making the film and being so careful with it with Nina and with Shishi and like the stories that you tell and the stories that you and what you showed the audiences in the film, because you're showing them, I think, a universal experience of women. It's an unfortunate one, but it's experiences and realities that many women all over the world can relate to. And I think that's one of the things I love about film. Like it allows us to be able to relate to people from anywhere and see similarities and commonalities and the things that really do bind us together, especially as women. There's a lot of things that we unfortunately have in common. But I think the film really does a really good job of being respectful and careful of that. So thank you so much for joining me and for making the
Thank you. Thank you for the conversation.
film. Thank you. I'll pause here. So everyone, that was another episode of Carolyn Talks, and in this episode I spoke to filmmaker Fan Wu about her film Shishi, about the life of, and she says she doesn't want to be called an artist, but as like Fan and I said in the interview, like she is an artist. She's an artist of life, she's a dancer, she's a singer, she's a composer, a musician, she's a daughter, she's a mother, she's an ex-wife, she's all of these things. And I think she's almost like every woman as well, in like she represents so much things that women are afraid to confront, and then so many things about us that we embrace as well. And I love the film, and I'm really happy that Fan made it, and I'm happy that I got to see it and that I spoke to her, because I was like, do I want it? And I'm like, you know what? I watched the film and I'm like, yes, I'm very happy that I got to speak to Fan about it. And I hope you guys enjoy this interview. I certainly enjoyed talking to her. As I said at the beginning, one of the interviews for the Hot Docs films presenting in Toronto in 2024 this year. And if you want to see the video version, it's going to be on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@Carolyn_Hines. You'll see this and some of the other interviews that I'm doing for Hot Docs, but also for South by Southwest, Sundance, TIFF. And if you want to see the interviews that I did for the Busan International Film Festival, short and feature film festival, that makes no sense, and Toronto Film Festival, you can watch them on kcrushamerica.com, sorry, kcrush.com for K Crush America magazine. If you're going to filmmaker interviews, in the drop down section, you'll find all those interviews there. But you also find them on my R3 page. That's my digital portfolio. That's r3.com/Carolyn Hines, and you'll find links to everything there: writing, op-eds, interviews, podcasting, YouTube episodes as well. My social media is Twitter and Instagram. That's at Carrie CNH12. That's CRRIE CNH12. Find links to my work there as well, and me discussing random things, talking about film, about my dog, about the weather, about flowers, And yeah, I think I live a pretty eclectic life, but I think I'd like to be a little bit more adventurous and gonna use Shishi as inspiration for that. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Karen Talks, and until the next episode, everyone, stay safe. Bye.